Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you for calling in. This is Minister Brenda Amos coming to you live from Manateechi Ministries. We're going to be talking today out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Lord has been dealing with me about soul winning for this year, and I just want you to know that, amen, soul winning is very important to God. And so we're going to discuss some things. We're going to be talking about this for the next two or three episodes of Manateechi Ministry. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the ability to come on the radio, Lord God, and on the telephone lines, and God, to preach your word and to build up the body of Christ. God, to reveal, God, to them what you have revealed to me, and God, to share. And Father, Lord God, I pray that it would be nourishment for their spiritual bodies, and God, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And we give you glory for this and many other blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. I want you, amen, to turn to chapter 15. I will be using the Amplified and the King James Version today. And the first verse, we're going to go verse by verse and just talk about this scripture. The Bible says, and this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church in his first letter. He said, and let me now remind you, let me read it out the King James Version first, though. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received and wherein ye stand. Now, the Amplified goes into a little bit more detail. The Amplified says, and let me now remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel or the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaim to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and upon which your faith rests. Now, in this scripture, Paul is reminding them. He said, let me remind you once again. And then, in parentheses, because this is what's implied, he says, since it seems to have escaped you. Now, Paul, this happens a lot of time in the church. We seem to forget, amen, the Bible says in Revelation, you have lost your first love, amen, or you have forgotten, amen, about your first love. So many times we get so busy in the church, the established religion of church, that we forget about the personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what he really died for. And this is what we're talking about today. Jesus Christ died to redeem the souls of lost men. That is the only reason why he came to earth to die, so that we would have a Savior. The Bible says that his name means, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the book of Isaiah talks about he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God's God with us. Amen. But Jesus Christ, his name Jesus means Savior. Amen. For he shall redeem his people from their sins. This is the gospel. I don't care what else you hear about people preaching about. If they're not preaching about Jesus Christ saving you from your sins and preparing an eternal place for you in the heavenlies after you leave this earth realm, that is not the gospel. Amen. Now, the Bible says right here, he said, I need to remind you. Amen. Now, Paul was a father in the gospel to this church. He said, I need to remind you of the good news of salvation. That means that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He said, I preached that to you, and you welcomed it and accepted it. And your faith on which you stand is based upon this principle. He said, by this faith, amen, you are saved. Amen. That means reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. Amen. The will of God and the purpose of God is one and the same. People want to say, what is the will of God? The will of God, simply put, is the purpose of God for your life. And everything that God has put in you lines you up to fulfill his purpose and for his kingdom, amen. Because the Bible says, remember the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, pray this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So all your purpose and your will is aligned into one for the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, Paul also said in this verse, in the Amplified, if you hold firmly to the word that I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Amen. He said, unless you believed in vain. That means superficially and without complete commitment. You have to be committed to the things of God in order to see his purpose manifest in you, in order for the faith of God that's based on salvation that you once believed, amen, then that's what we're talking about today, the faith, amen, of the saints. And what should your faith be in? Now, in verse 2, no, this is verse 3. Let me read verse 2 in the King James, because I talked about it a little bit. But in verse 2, he says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, verse 3, this is going back. Let's read it in the King James Version. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died. Now, this is talking about Christ. First, he's talking about Jesus, which is the Savior, but Christ is the anointed one, the one that brings power and authority, amen. He's the anointed one, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, amen, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So when you preach the gospel, you have to preach not only the death of Jesus Christ, and that by his death and by his blood we are saved through redemption, for without the shedding of blood there is no redemption of sins. Amen. But also Paul says in verse 4 that he was buried and that he rose again. That's what gives us the victory over death that we're going to talk to him about in a minute. But he said in verse 3, and this is in the Amplified, for I pass on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to that which the Scriptures foretold. Amen. Talking about the Old Testament, which pointed to Jesus Christ. Amen. And that he was buried and that he was bodily raised, hallelujah, on the third day, according to that which the Scriptures foretold. And that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. That's verse down to verse 6. So let's talk about this. In verse 3, he says, for I pass unto you, first of all, what I also received from Jesus Christ. Remember on the road to Emmaus when Paul got saved? Amen. He said, I received this of the Lord. And for 3 years, Paul did not fellowship with anybody. He did not go to the church. He didn't even go to church for 3 years. Praise God. Paul just spent time with the Lord. Amen. He said, for I pass on to you, first of all, what I also received, that Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, died for our sins in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to church, because the Bible says you should go to church. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even more as that day approaches. So, but what I'm letting you know here is that Paul said he received this message from the Lord himself. Amen. Even on the road to Damascus. Amen. So the Bible says that the gospel, not only that he died for our sins in verse 3, but in verse 4 that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's part of the gospel. Amen. You can't preach the full gospel without preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says that he rose on the third day as the Scriptures foretold. Verse 5, and also that he appeared to Cephas or Peter, then to the 12. Verse 6, he says, and let's go back over to the King James Version because I'd like to read that one first. In verse 6, we're in 1 Corinthians 15 and 6, the Bible says, after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day. That's when this was written. But soon are fallen asleep, amen, or die. That's verse 6. And Amplified says, then later he showed himself to more than 500 at one time, the majority of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep in death. Verse 7, afterward he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And apostles means special messengers. Amen. So let's talk about this for a minute in verse 6. After that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, the majority of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep in death. Then he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles. Now, one version says Peter, another version says James, then by all of the apostles. So that depends on who wrote, who interpreted this, not who wrote it, but the interpretation. The King James is totally different, interpretationally wise, from the Amplified Bible. And last of all, as to one untimely, speaking of himself, Paul said he's an apostle, but he was born out of at the wrong time or the last time. He said untimely, prematurely, traumatically born, he appeared to me also. That's in verse 7. So it says in verse 8, he said, afterwards he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles, the special messengers, and last of all he appeared to me also as the one born prematurely and born dead. Amen. No better than an unperfected fetus among living men. So Paul here was very humble in this scripture. He didn't put himself up as some great apostle. Amen. In verse 9, he said, for I am the least worthy of the apostles. Paul, now let's look at this. Amen. Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament. You see, preachers, a lot of times they want these titles. They want to be, Jesus talked about the Pharisees. They have that spirit sometimes on them. They want to be seen. He said, you do what you do to be seen of men. You have your reward. There is no reward coming to you when you get to heaven if you do everything down here on earth to be seen by men. Amen. He even talked about giving. That's why I don't believe in having people to raise their hand and take a $500 envelope or a $1,000 envelope, or, you know, because that is identifying your gift. Amen. And the Bible says if you do it to be seen of men, then you have no reward in heaven. So I don't believe in that. Amen. If you're going to give, give secretly. The Bible says when you give your alms, do it in quiet or in the closet. When you pray, pray in quiet. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, how they like to make a long pretense of prayer. Amen. There are some religions that the priests or the preachers, they want to make a long pretense of prayer, like they know how to pray. Amen. If you know how to pray, you pray secretly first in your closet. Then you pray for the way God asks you to pray for people is to pray for the sick. Amen. The elders of the church, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for the sick. Amen. Or you pray for somebody when they get saved, when you go out soul winning, you might have to pray for somebody. But you don't do it to be seen of men. Amen. Now in verse 9, Paul says, for I am the least worthy of the apostles, who am not fit or deserving to be called an apostle. Because, then he tells you why he's not fit to be called an apostle. He said, because I once persecuted or wronged and pursued, and the Amplified says, molested the church of God, oppressing it with cruelty and violence. Amen. So in verse 9, Paul says, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I at one time, and then another verse says, fiercely oppressed and violently persecuted the church. So Paul knew the same church that he's preaching to now, the same church that he's an apostle over now, he once persecuted violently. Another scripture says, molested the church of God. In verse 10, he said, but by the remarkable grace of God, I am what I am. Hallelujah. Verse 10, Paul says, by the grace of God, which is the unmerited favor and blessing of God. Amen. He said, I am what I am. I am an apostle by God's grace. And Paul says, and his grace toward me was not found to be fruitless and without effect, or was not found to be in vain. So he said, whatsoever it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed and trusted in and relied on with confidence. So in verse 10, this scripture really means a lot to me. He said, because by the grace of God, I am the unmerited favor and blessing of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not found to be fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, speaking of the apostles, though it was not really I, but the grace, which is the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was with me that worked hard. So it was not I, but it was God. It was the grace of God that worked with me. Amen. So he's giving God all of the glory here. In verse 11, he said, for so whether it was I or they, this is what we preach, talking about the salvation gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what you believed or adhered to, trusted in, and relied on. Amen. Verse 12, he says, but now, if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead. And over in the King James Version, it says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, we're talking about the resurrection right now, which is, remember I told you, that's part two of the gospel message. if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? So verse 12 in the Amplified says, if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, he said, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. So Paul is making a comparison here, a parallel comparison. He said, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then you don't believe that Christ rose. Now look at the outcome of that. Verse 14, he said, if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is in vain, or it amounts to nothing. And your faith is devoid of truth and fruitless, without effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded. That's what the world wants to say. The world wants to say that the Christian faith is imaginary or unfounded, not factual. But Paul said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then that's true. He said, we are even discovered in verse 15 to be misrepresenting God. He said, for we testified of him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, in case it is true that the dead are not raised. So he said, if Christ is not risen, if you don't believe in the resurrection, and you don't believe that Christ rose from the dead, he said, then the message that we preach is misrepresenting God. Verse 16, he said, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been risen. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is, listen to this, a mere delusion. Amen. Sometimes I know the thought has crossed your mind because we live in a natural realm and the spiritual realm is invisible. Sometimes I know it has crossed my mind sometime, but I have to rebuke that thought. That is this thing real? Amen. What if it's not real? But Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a mere delusion. That means futile or fruitless. And you are still in your sins. Hiya. Thank you, Lord. You are still in your sins. So he said that means under the control and penalty of sin. Praise God. Are you still yet in your sins, Paul is saying? If you don't believe that Christ has risen from the dead, then you are yet in your sins, or under the control and penalty of sin. Amen. But how many of you know this is not so? Verse 18. He said, and further, those who have died in spiritual fellowship and union with Christ have perished or are lost. So if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, every Christian that has died in spiritual fellowship and union with Christ is perished or lost. Amen. Verse 19, he said, if we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all men most miserable and to be pitied. Hallelujah. So Paul said, if in this life only, and this is verse 19, and I had to quote the scripture sometimes to give me a peace of mind and to encourage me to go on in the midst of a trial. Some of you need this word today. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. Hallelujah. He said, but we have more than this life. Amen. We have a new life, eternal life in the heaven that we are expecting. Amen. But Paul says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And the Amplified says, but the fact is that Christ the Messiah has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. Praise God. Verse 21, he said, for since it was through a man that death came into the world. Remember God told Adam, he said, the day that you eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Amen. And Adam died spiritually, and the death process began in his natural body. His eyes became open to the truth. See, Satan get told him a half truth. He said, you shall be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. He lied about you shall be as gods, but he did not lie about you shall know the difference between good and evil, because that opened up our minds to a conscious that we now know the difference between good and evil. He said, but getting back into the scripture, he said, in verse 21, he said, for since it was through a man that death came into the world, talking about Adam, it is also through a man that the resurrection of the dead has come, speaking of Jesus Christ. For just as because of their union with in Adam, all people die. The only reason why we die, have to die, is because of Adam. Amen, because we are We have that we are of his nature. Amen. Union in nature with Adam, all people die. So also by virtue of that union shall all be made alive in Christ. In order to be have eternal life, you have to be united with Christ. Amen. You have to accept him as your personal savior. You have to receive his sacrifice as your sacrifice. Amen. If you don't, then you are separated from God eternally. And that's the difference between Christianity and any other religion. We have to believe that Jesus Christ was God, that his blood was pure, that it was pure enough to save us, amen, from our sins. Amen, that he was the Son of God, that he was equal to God. Amen, and that the Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that he was God, because the Bible says the word of God was made flesh and lived and dwelt among us. Amen. So, in verse 23, the Bible says, but each in his own rank and turn, Christ the Messiah is the first fruits. Hallelujah. Then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected as his coming. So Jesus Christ was the first fruits of those raised from the dead in verse 23. At verse 24, after that comes the end. Amen. Now, the Amplified says the end means the completion of things. This thing is not complete yet, saints. The end has not come yet. But Paul said, after the end comes, or the completion comes, then he shall deliver over, talking about Jesus, shall deliver over the kingdom to God the Father, after rendering, and this is what I really throw in the devil's face, after rendering inoperative and abolishing every rule and every authority and power. So Jesus Christ is going to render inoperative through the church, that's us, his body, we're going to render inoperative and abolish every rule, every authority, and every power. Amen. That's the devil's kingdom. Amen. So we're going to render that him inoperative and abolish every spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And every authority and every power. Hallelujah. That is not of God. For Christ, the Bible says in verse 25, must be king and reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is reigning, and he's going to continue to reign, glory to God, until he has put all the enemies of Christ, of Jesus, of the Lord God, our Father, under his feet. The last enemy, the Bible says in verse 26, that shall be subdued and abolished is death. Hallelujah. Verse 27, for he, the Father, has put all things in subjection under his feet. Remember Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore I send you, amen, hallelujah, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen, he said, and with signs following, amen, praise the Lord. But the Bible says that God the Father has put all things under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection under him, it is evident or obvious that he, Christ, is accepted from this. Why does the subjecting of all who does the subjecting of all things to him? Praise God. The Bible says, however, when everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself would also subject himself to the Father, who puts all things under him. Hallelujah. So that God may be all in all, and that means be everything to everyone, supreme, the indwelling and controlling factor of life. Remember God told Moses when he said, who shall I say sent me? He said, I am. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. Praise God. So God said, the Bible says here, Paul is letting us know that Jesus Christ is going to put all things under himself and present himself to God with the kingdom, so that God may be all in all. And that means everything to everyone, supreme, the indwelling and controlling factor of life. Verse 29, otherwise, what do people mean by being themselves? Baptized in behalf of the dead. If the dead are not raised, why are people baptized for them? Verse 30, for that matter, Paul, the Amplified says, why do I live dangerously as I do, running risks that I am in peril every hour? 31, I assure you by the pride which I have in you, or in your fellowship and union with Christ Jesus our Lord, that I die daily. That means I face death every day and die to self. Amen. We say I die daily because we die to self. But Paul faced real obstacles, and he risked his life every day for preaching the gospel, and he had to die to self. So that's why he said, I die daily. Verse 32, what do I gain if merely from the human point of view I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, if the dead are not raised at all? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will be dead. Amen. That's what some people are doing anyway, acting as if Christ is not going to return tomorrow. Hallelujah. He said, then, if that's true, then, if the dead are not raised at all, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will be dead. Verse 33, do not be so deceived and misled. That's what the devil wants to do. He's the author of deception, amen, and he misleads you, amen. Paul said, do not be deceived, hallelujah, and thinking that there is no resurrection. He said, evil communications or companionships or communion or associations corrupt and deprave good manners and moral and character. So Paul is saying here, and this is something that's very important to remember, saints, and this is something we need to teach our children, especially before they go off to school. Evil, and even growing up in school, evil companionships or communion or associations corrupt and deprave good manners and moral and character. So you can have all the morals, you can have good character, you can have good manners, but if you hang around people, hallelujah, that are evil in their heart, they will corrupt you, the Bible says. Verse 34, awake from your drunken stupor and return. He's talking about people that have fallen away. He said, remember, in verse 1, I have to remind you, amen, of your faith. He said, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. That means you are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking a sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. Hallelujah. The Bible says to know you in John 17 and 3. It says, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Hallelujah. So Paul says that he rebuked the church here because he said, you are utterly have not the knowledge of God. And he said, I speak this to your shame. When he said, have not the knowledge of God, he said, you are willfully and utterly disgracefully ignorant. Hallelujah. And you continue to be so, lacking a sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. Praise God. He said, but someone will say, how can the dead be raised? With what kind of body will they come forth? You foolish man, every time you plant a seed, you sow something that does not come to life. He said, you germinating, springing up, and growing unless it dies first. That means every time you plant something, you don't see the end result when you plant the seed because it has a different type of body. And because I only have a couple of minutes left, I'm going to go through this very fast, saints. Verse 37, he said, nor is the seed you sow, then the body which it is going to have later. But it is a naked kernel, perhaps of wheat or some of the rest of the grains. But God gives it the body that he plans and sees fit, and to each kind of seed a body of his own. For all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for beasts, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies, sun, moon, stars, and there are earthly bodies, men, animals, and plants. But the beauty and glory of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, while the beauty and glory of the earthly bodies is a different kind. This is verse 41 coming up next. He said, the sun is glorious in one way, the moon is glorious in another way, and the stars are glorious in their own distinctive way. For one star differs from and surpasses another in its beauty and elegance or brilliance. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is a seed. Amen. He said that is perishable and decays. But the body that is resurrected is imperishable or immune to decay and immortal. It is sown in dishonor and humiliation. It is raised in honor and glory. It is sown in infirmity and weakness. It is resurrected and strengthened and endued with power. Hallelujah. So this body that you have nowadays, sometimes get sick and hallelujah, sometimes get attacked with disease, that's the seed of what is to come. He said, but when you get raised from the dead, you are going to be raised in strength and endued with power. It is sown a natural physical body, but it is raised a supernatural or a spiritual body. As surely as there is a physical body, Paul is teaching here, there is also a spiritual body. Thus Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being or an individual personality. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit. That means he restored the dead to life. Hallelujah. It is not the spiritual life which came first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man from out of the earth, made of dust, earthly minded. The second man, the Lord out of heaven. Now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust, earthly minded. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we bear the image of the man of heaven. But I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of eternal salvation and inherit or share in the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that which is decaying, inherit or share in the imperishable, the immortal. Take notice, I tell you a mystery, a secret, a truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose or counsel of God. We shall not all sleep in death, but we shall be changed or transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay, and we shall be changed or transformed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality, or freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be swallowed up the scripture that says death. Then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says death is swallowed up or utterly vanquished forever and given unto victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is your victory? Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory or makes us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, or always be superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile or is never wasted or to no purpose. God bless you, saints. I pray that you enjoyed the word today. I have to sign out. My time is up. I love you with the love of the Lord and pray for Manna Teaching Ministry. God bless you. Good night.